from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. The coronavirus pandemic is a huge threat to businesses, large and small. Statewide orders to stay at home have forced all but the most essential businesses to close their doors, leading to massive layoffs and real questions about how to survive the crisis. This hour on Forum, we'll discuss what's needed to allow companies, merchants, entrepreneurs, and others to keep their heads above water long enough to survive until the situation improves. We'll have advice for meeting the range of challenges, from accessing cash to helping employees and taking advantage of loans and government assistance. It's all ahead this hour on Forum, right after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. Well, right after the health impact of the coronavirus crisis is the widespread devastation the pandemic is having on the economy in general, and in particular, businesses and employees who are finding themselves struggling to get a lifeline. This hour on Forum, what businesses are doing and can do to survive this pandemic and recover on the other end of it. I'm going to open up the phone lines right away. We'd love to hear from you if you are a small business person who's had to close their doors temporarily or even permanently, or if you're still opening. If you're still open, what are you doing to keep business coming through the door? The phone number to call, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also send your questions and comments to us via Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. We're going to begin with a small business owner in the Central Valley. Chuck Van Fleet is the owner of Vino Grill and Spirits. He's also the Fresno chapter president of the California Restaurant Association. And Chuck Van Fleet, welcome to Forum.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, first of all, a little bit about your business.
We are primarily restaurant, bar. We also have a little bit of wine retail, and we have a wine club, and it's just it's a fun place to hang out, kind of a neighborhood place.
And at what point did you have to close your doors or at least change the way you're doing business, not have people come in to eat, for example?
Not last Tuesday, but a week ago. The week prior to that, we had to bring all of our employees in on the Tuesday night to let them all know that they needed to go file for unemployment and that we're going to start trying to do delivery and delivery and takeout, so that we were going to end up cutting almost all their hours. Mm.
And these are employees, I imagine, some of whom you've had for quite a long time?
Yeah, they're family. I mean, we really are. We have a total of 30 employees. A lot of them have been with us for well over a year or two, and it's just it. My wife and I got up in front of all of them, and it's a very difficult thing. But a lot of them understood. A lot of them have other jobs that they were working at, school, that they're still getting a little bit of a paycheck. And, you know, the caring for the people is just, for my employees, is amazing. We have one gal who has money saved up. She's done a good job. I put her on the schedule, and she gave her shifts away to one of the guys that has to care for his wife and two kids.
Wow.
So,
yeah. And what is your hope on the other side of this? Are you hoping that most or many of those employees would be able to come back?
The hope is that they would all come back. I mean, we keep in contact with them. One thing that we're doing to try to keep in touch with everybody is we're offering what we call a family meal for our employees. So every day between 3 and 5, if you're working or not working, you can come in and share a meal with the people that are there if you're comfortable. So we try to make it so that they still have contact with us. We are doing social distancing within the restaurant, but we're providing our employees with something.
And how are you getting the word out to the customers?
The customers is a lot of social media. We have an email of 4,700 people that we can send out, but social media is the big one for all of our takeout and delivery.
And is that working?
It is. We're down during the week. We're down about 50%. During the weekends, we're down about 70%. We have invented this thing that we call a community box, and we're selling a lot of those. Some people are buying them. It has fruits and vegetables. It's got bread, eggs, you know, milk, butter. It's a $40 box. People are buying them online and then just sending me a thing saying, I bought this, donate it to somebody that needs it. You know, we're doing okay. Just make sure that somebody that needs food gets it.
Yeah. So what go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you said that I thought I heard you say that your business is down between 50 and 70%. How much have you had or been able to cut your costs?
We've been able to cut our payroll down considerably, and when you look at the total of what it is, I mean, my payroll right now is running at 24%. My food costs are running at 24%. So really, we're down, you know, those are cut a little bit by percentage, but it still eats into the total overall of what the day is.
Yeah, sure. We're hearing that as many as 30,000 restaurants could close. What are you hearing from other restaurants? You're also the chapter president of the California Restaurant Association in Fresno. What are your fellow restaurant owners saying?
You know, we're all working together more than we ever have. I mean, we're texting each other every day. We're talking. I mean, there's a handful of people that I talk to every day. How's your business? What's going on? I mean, you know, we had a terrible, terrible Saturday morning, and I'm like, hey, is anybody else experiencing this? And they all were. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just me. It was everybody. So we're in there together. We're coming up with different ideas of what we can do that can help and keep everybody safe, moving into hopefully a resolution at the end of this, and we're all here.
Well, and that is the frightening thing is we don't know how long it's going to be. What worries you? What keeps you up at night? I imagine more than one thing.
Really, it's just keeping the employees and what we're going to do. I mean, they mean the world to us. And we've got some great people that we want to make sure that they can pay their bills and what they can do. I started to say we developed this community box. And the main reason we did it is, yes, to help the community. But at the same time, I can bring some people in and figure out the hourly for them that they normally wouldn't get just to fill these boxes. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for us to come up with a reason for more hours.
Well, I hope you're able to survive this and come out on the other end in some ways even stronger. It sounds like there's some silver linings out there in terms of the kind of support you're giving each other and getting from your fellow restaurant owners.
Absolutely. I mean, I think all of us have really taken a look at how can we be more efficient, because if we're not being efficient right now, we're not going to make any money and not going to be able to pay the rent and all the utilities. So we're all working together. We're all saying, hey, there's a podcast about, you know, all the CARES Act and everything else. And we're sharing all the data we possibly can.
All right. Well, Chuck, best of luck to you. Chuck Van Fleet is a Fresno chapter president of the California Restaurant Association, owner of Vino Grill and Spirits. Good luck, Chuck. Hope it all hangs together for you till this is over.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much. All right, let's broaden the conversation a bit now. And joining us is E.C. Romem. He's an economist and founder of MetroSite. Also, Julie Klaus, San Francisco District Director for the U.S. Small Business Administration. And John Kabatek, California State Director for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Welcome to all of you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Let me begin with you, Julie, if I may. Give us sort of the big picture. What are you hearing from small businesses and what kinds of questions are you hearing?
You know, I think Chuck's comments a few moments ago kind of are what I'm hearing broadly, not just from the restaurant industry, but from a lot of different industry sectors. I think, you know, the first thing these businesses are worried about is their employees and how do they retain them? Do they let them go and collect unemployment? What's more advantageous to them? Because as Chuck said, they, you know, they are like family to them and they want to make sure they're taken care of. The second phase is then what kind of revenue can I bring in? Should I pivot my business to something else? Do I need to amplify, you know, one product or service line over another? So I think there's a lot of internal decision making that's happening on how to position themselves to at least have some revenue stream if possible.
What do you tell them? What kind of advice? I mean, obviously it varies tremendously depending on what the business is, but like how can these small businesses maximize their revenues at this point?
Right. I think it's a lot of businesses are getting really creative. And I do remind people that we do have our cadre of resource partners that are out there with free business advisors that can really sit down and have these one-on-one conversations and talk to some industry experts, whether through our Small Business Development Center program, SCORE, Women's Business Center, and our Veteran Business Outreach Center. What's great is that they'll try to match you with somebody who's either got industry sector expertise or subject matter expertise, depending on what your specific questions are. So they're there to help with the financing aspect and getting this working capital loan, or also just how you can maybe help pivot your business, how to improve your online presence, what kinds of marketing tools and tactics are available that maybe you haven't leveraged before.
And EC Roma, let me bring you in. How has this unfolded in terms of its impact on the economy? We've seen, of course, tremendous numbers of unemployment insurance claims being filed, 3 million across the country just in the last week or two. How have you seen it as you've looked at the way it has kind of rippled across the economy? Like, what were the first businesses hit and what's, still to come perhaps?
So my mental map kind of divides the impact into rounds. And what we're seeing now is the first round, those businesses and people directly impacted by the pandemic and sheltering in place. So that means the travel industry has obviously taken a hit. So has tourism, the hotel industry, conferences, sports events, retail, and everything we normally do that involves leaving the house. Think about your dentist, right? Who's going to want to have someone stick their hands in your mouth or do the opposite at this time? All those businesses and people employed in them are suffering directly. A different category is everything that has to do with investment and credit. So the stock market and mortgage lending and all kinds of small business lending, venture capital here in the Bay Area, which is probably going to be much harder to come by. So that's all the first round. Later on, we'll see second round repercussions, right? Everyone's servicing these businesses that are hit in the first round. So think about supply chains having trouble domino style, and think about everyone who provides services to these businesses, their lawyers, accountants, their marketing services. And then ultimately, if the economy is not doing as well, all these sectors are inactive or hurt, that's going to reduce demand in general. And that means that no matter what you do in the economy, you're going to see less demand for it.
We're talking about how businesses are coping and adapting to the coronavirus pandemic and shelter-in-place orders. Our guests are EC Romam, economist and founder of MetroSite, Julie Klaus with the San Francisco District Office. She's the director of that office for the U.S. Small Business Administration, and John Kabatek, California State Director for the National Small Business, NFIB, which is a national small business organization. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a ring at 866-733-6600. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. John, just a follow-up to what you heard from EC in terms of this rolling impact on the economy. What else are you hearing, especially with regard to small businesses?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. And, I really appreciate you having this service to share with others out there. And I would say, NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, we serve about 15,000 small and independent businesses in California, about 300,000 across the nation, California-born organization. Our hearts go out to so many like Chuck, who are facing the challenges of their businesses. But for every challenge that we're hearing these incredible stories of resilience and courage and stewardship, like the lady that works for Chuck, who's giving some of her shifts away. I mean, you talk about the backbone of the economy. I mean, small businesses really are strong to the marrow, and we're loving these stories. But we are finding, we NFIB released a survey just within the past week that reveals a huge contrast from the survey that was released just 10 days before that. It found that 78% of small businesses are negatively impacted by the outbreak. That was just a huge jump from just 10 days before that, that showed 25% of them negatively impacted. And I think of those that are impacted, they're seeing about 54% are seeing slower sales, 23% are finding supply chain disruptions, and then I think 9% are finding these sick employees or those not affected by COVID necessarily, but just who are showing some sort of symptoms. But I will say that, you know, what we are finding with the challenges that many are waking up, certainly are certainly facing this, starting to talk to their banks, starting to take measures. And I think one of the things that we are finding is, as we've heard time and time again on this call, with small businesses, their employees are their families so much. And many of them, what we keep hearing time and again from Fresno to Sacramento to Los Angeles is they're doing everything they can to help their employees, make sure they're doing everything as much as they need to cut costs. They're doing all that they can to make sure that they can keep their employees in place, protect them and their families, and help make sure that they still remain on their payroll. But these are challenging times, but we're seeing so much heroism through this process and so many people taking measures to do that in this time. And I will also say we're finding small business owners being very creative, and you're hearing some of those stories of people twisting and turning in a way that can comport to this market. And we're also finding small businesses giving back. One distillery company in Long Beach is now producing hand sanitizers. And just like we saw in the last wildfires, we're hearing many stories about restaurants and cafes and retailers donating and delivering supplies to those in their community. So it's a sad and challenging time. We'll get through it. But it's amazing to see Main Street really rise through the ashes here.
It really is. We're talking about how businesses are coping in this coronavirus pandemic. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you're a small business person or perhaps work for a small business. Give us a call at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Tell us how this is affecting you and what you've done to try to make it through and onto the other side so that you can recover when we're all hopefully done with this epidemic, which, of course, has at the moment no particular end in sight. Let's go to the phones. And Brittany in San Luis Obispo, you are next. Welcome.
Okay. Hello. Hi there.
Hi.
So I am actually a wedding caterer on the Central Coast. I have been my business is directly impacted to how many people can gather for a wedding. My question is, do you think this will put us in a recession for businesses? You know, when there's a recession happening, people don't get married. They kind of put off and wait off for a wedding. It's hard to have a wedding in a recession when people don't have the extra money to do that. My business has been directly impacted from this because, you know, I cannot have cater a wedding when there's no people.
How many, just out of curiosity, roughly how many weddings have been canceled of yours?
So from April to May, we've had 5 postponements and 2 cancellations. The postponements are also looking to next year to get married. They're not looking anytime soon just because the amount of stress and planning that goes into a wedding. And I'm not the only person that's impacted from this. The gig industry, the bartenders, the venues, people that do this job full-time, photographers, they are now out of income totally because of this direct impact.
Yeah. E.C. Roman, to the question about the recession, what are the markers for that? Some would say that we're either in it or very soon will be.
I think we're already in a recession in the sense that economic activity has slowed down dramatically. A lot of things that we see in day-to-day life that are economic activity just aren't happening, like the example of weddings not happening. I think the question really is how deep the recession will be, and will it be more of a 1930s-style depression than a typical recession that we've grown used to in our lifetime? I think the main challenge nowadays facing policymakers is how to help preserve the existing structure of businesses. The concern now is that a lot of businesses will go under, and then the slow process of taking those people and the capital and restructuring it back into businesses that work could drag out for years. It's much better if people are able to have their costs deferred, whether that's rents or mortgages or other costs that they have, and basically push these costs down the line to lenders and organizations that have deeper pockets than your typical small business or individual. And then that way, save the structure of the economy, save people and businesses from going under, and have an easier time bouncing back from the recession at the other end of this.
Any additional comments to Brittany, Julie? Any other advice for her?
Hey, Brittany. I would just say that there's our economic injury disaster loan program for you personally to apply for assistance to help give you working capital to support you right now and carry you through, you know, the next 6 months or whatever you think is reasonable. There's also some new programs that are coming out, and I would say stay tuned this week as we push out additional programmatic information, like on our Paycheck Protection Program, which should be available through lenders on Friday. We are deferring payments on loans. Our disaster loans are automatically deferred through the end of the calendar year. And additional, our 7A products, which are done through commercial lenders, are also experiencing deferment in principal and interest. So there's a lot going on right now. We're in the process of breaking some more of that down. But I am happy to announce that the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, the brand new application is up, very streamlined. You can go in and qualify. We can advance up to $10,000, like within a matter of days. So, if you haven't already looked into some of these resources, I do encourage you to do so.
All right. Thanks so much for that. Brittany, good luck to you. Hope it works out for you.
Thank you very much.
All right. You bet. Let's go now to Fresno, and Leaf is on the line. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Go right ahead.
So I keep hearing my family, immediate family member, which I'm involved in the business as, owns a small chain of businesses here in the Valley. And I keep hearing that, you know, small businesses are the backbone of the economy. Really, it's the workers. Like, the business owners can create businesses, but if there's nobody there to actually work them, then we don't have essential services like groceries or medicine.
Sure.
Or any other kind of thing that we could possibly need.
Yeah, and of course
and
that's...
I think that... Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go finish up. We're coming on a break, so I was going to try to wrap it up. But go for it. Finish your thought.
Oh, yeah. And I was just going to say that, you know, if we had better social safety nets and maybe unionization, we wouldn't be heading toward a recession, because we would actually have ways of making sure that people had money to pay rent and still buy goods.
Yeah, a very good point. Thank you so much, Leaf, for that comment. And we are coming up to a break, but Julie Close, I know you focus more on businesses, but there are some forbearance promises from some of the banks when it comes to mortgages or leases. Hopefully that will help some of folks, at least who own the businesses. But for folks who are really, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, it is going to be very, very bumpy, even with the assistance, right?
Yes. And I do encourage people to look not just to the federal, but state and local government programs as well, because a lot of them do support individuals and the workers.
All right. Very good. We're going to leave it there and take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation and bring in some additional guests as well. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you how your business is coping, how you as an employee are coping. 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Or you can get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Or if you'd like something else, you can email your questions to forum@kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Much more to come. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and we're talking this hour about how businesses are coping and adapting to the coronavirus pandemic and the shelter-in-place orders. Our guests, E.C. Romem, economist and founder of MetroSite. Julie Klaus is San Francisco District Director of the U.S. Small Business Administration. And also with us, John Kabatek. He is the California State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. We'd love to hear from you this hour. Give us a ring at 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. If you're a small business person, how are you coping with this extraordinary circumstance we find ourselves in? I want to bring in another voice right now into another sector of the economy. Vanessa Bergmark is owner of Red Oak Realty, and she joins us. Vanessa, what's going on with the market?
Hi, Hi, thanks so much for having me. Well, the market is trending towards a standstill. We're starting to see a massive decline in new pendings and listings coming to market. So, yeah, just kind of in a holding pattern, especially with the announcement that we will go at least another 30 days.
And your focus is Berkeley and Oakland, is that correct?
Yes, we have offices in Oakland, Berkeley. We work, you know, all the way through Alameda and Contra Costa counties. But we have seen, since we are the first one to be put under the shelter in place, we've got sort of, a better view of what this is going to look like potentially nationwide, since we are now going into our third week of, non-essential business. Real estate is currently considered non-essential business in these counties.
And were there sales in and purchases that were in, you know, in the pipeline, that were in escrow when this happened? Are those at least being completed?
Yes. Actually, several of them are being completed. They're still being completed at record pricing. We started the spring market, what was going to be, really our big season ahead, and we were down 30% in available inventory to start the season. So there was huge buyer demand. And strangely enough, the buyer demand hasn't completely disappeared. The listings, the new active listings that are coming to market, they have dropped almost 60% last week and an additional 25%. So we went from about 181 active listings down to 55 this week. We are still seeing, though, that there is a demand, especially because of rates and loans and a very tech-heavy buyer pool that hasn't been as immediately affected as some other areas and some other industries, that there still is demand. The question becomes, how do you close an escrow or show a property during this time, which is becoming challenging?
Are there people who are willing to buy sort of sight unseen and just looking at pictures online?
Well, depending on what pictures we have to put online, if we did not get in about 15 days ago with cameras and video equipment, there are really no pictures to see unless we use old MLS photos or sellers' photos from their phones, which we're doing very creatively right now as a company. I am seeing buyers that will get into escrow. However, we are putting a contingency in place that they should see the property prior to closing the escrow. So what we'll see is probably a very long escrow period. They're usually about 23 days to 30 days in the East Bay. That may be 60 to 90 days of a current escrow. And then once the SIP is lifted, they might be able to see the property and move forward within a 5 to 10 day period.
What advice do you have for buyers and sellers right now?
With sellers, we've said if you've got the property ready, if you're carrying two mortgages, if you're carrying a bridge loan, there's a lot of sellers that are in some financial situations right now. They moved out and they've got another property, and they're ready to go. So we've said to them, we will get as creative as possible with the marketing, and we still think it's worth a shot to put your house on the market now, assuming you were ready and you're in that sort of predicament. If not, it's probably best to just wait until after the shelter-in-place is lifted as a county. For buyers, I still think if they're ready to go, they can look online, they could get an escrow. Together, there's still demand. We actually had a property the other night where there was 5 or 6 offers, and it went well over list price. So this is strangely enough still happening, even with the shelter in place. I think it's really just reaching out, finding what your own desires are right now. If you want to buy a property, you still can. Just have to wait before you see it.
Yeah,
and close
right.
Escrow.
Good. All right. Well, Vanessa Bergmark, good luck to you. Thanks for sharing your situation over there in the East Bay.
Okay. Thanks so much for having me.
And let's go to the phones now. And Paula in San Francisco, welcome to Forum.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm Paula. I own Chile Lindo in the Mission District on 16th and Cap. Thank you for all the information Forum is giving small business owners. I think one of the things that is coming to light is how much business owners care for their staff and their employees, and how much we recognize the importance and their value. And I think that's important to see. I don't know if everyone is that aware of that. I'm very blessed to have a very small staff. So my operation is, we make fresh baked empanadas every day. We're between 3 and 4 people. I switched through my network that I've built over the years through my newsletter and through social media to make deliveries. I make deliveries in the East Bay on Thursdays, in the South Bay on Wednesdays, in the East Bay on Thursday, and in the North Bay on Fridays. And the rest of the week, I prepare to get all the orders out. A friend of mine that is really not being able to drive Lyft anymore, I was able to get him on board, and people pay the delivery fee, and I can pay him to go very, very far to different areas where of my customer base that have known me for years, and they're able to contribute by word of mouth and by telling neighbors. And this way we get the box of fresh baked empanadas all the way out to these different areas. It lowers the delivery cost for everyone.
Well, and Paul, and I've been to your empanada stand, which is not
you.
Yes, and it's walk up. It's always been takeaway, right? You've never really had tables inside.
Exactly. So we've always, I've always been a health freak and cleanliness freak. That's why my product is Neiman Ranch beef and Mary's Free Range chicken. But now, for example, if I do have a walk up or someone comes, we don't give them the tablet. So we sign with an X for them. You know, the car gets, before it goes out for delivery, we make sure we clean everything. Everybody washes their hands. I make a cinnamon tea for everyone to drink during the day. And it's working out. I know we're resorting to everything. I give away gloves to everybody that comes up to the shop because we use gloves at the shop all the time. And so those
just real quickly, because I'm going to let you go, but what kind of empanadas do you have today?
We have what's on our menu every day, which is at chilelindo.com, which are the Neiman Ranch beef, the spicy beef, chicken, cheese, ham and mozzarella jalapeno, and cheddar mozzarella, and a vegan.
Oh,
made
great.
From Eve's Meatless Ground from Rainbow Grocery.
All right. Thanks. Well, Paula, thank you so much. Yeah, you bet, and hope things continue to work out for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Let's go to Justin Coleman now. He is a small business owner, Coleman Relocations. Coleman, Justin, thanks for calling us. Tell us what's going on with your business. You're a moving company, right?
Well, things are slowing down. Things have pretty much come to a halt because people are very fearful and very scared about this virus that's going around. So, you know, talk about going from having a calendar book full of appointments to down to one or two for the month, you know?
Yeah. How are you hunkering down? What are you doing to make it through?
Posting a couple more ads, but honestly, I actually like that I'm not as busy as I was before, even though I'm struggling to keep the business going because I don't have the funds coming in. But I don't want to take as many opportunities to expose myself to the virus. So although I'm not happy with the volume of work I'm getting right now, I do feel a lot safer being at home more.
Yeah. Well, and as you sort of suggested there is the silver lining, I guess, is one way to describe it, that you have more time maybe to spend on things you didn't have time for or with people you didn't have time to spend as much time with as you would have liked.
My children, definitely. I get to be a dad right now.
Yeah. Well, Justin, thanks for checking in. Good luck to you. I hope you make it through and come out even stronger on the other end.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to some comments now. Curtis writes, at this point in the crisis, there appears to be no bottom to how impactful this will be to small businesses. What economic signals will give small businesses hope that the rebuilding will begin? EC Romem, do you want to take that one?
I think it's going to be a long haul, and businesses are going to have to hold their breath. And the task for the rest of us, the government especially, is to help people hold their breath for longer. At the same time, I think crises like these are really good opportunities for invention and creative thinking and coming up with ideas that we wouldn't have thought of otherwise. So if you think about how we adapt to the situation, how businesses are adapting, there are the obvious adaptations like people who have been laid off from Uber or Lyft switching over to work for Amazon or Instacart or everyone else who's now in search of people for making deliveries. And then you've got things like airlines. They're desperate for business. Nobody's traveling. I heard this morning that cargo freight costs, air freight, have quadrupled. And I'm asking myself, how long will it be until airlines start using their cargo hulls and passenger planes to make deliveries. And then you've got the unknowns, right? What brilliant ideas will people come up with that none of us can think of right now, but which will emerge the longer this lasts, that will stay with us even after this pandemic is gone.
And to the question of how long, I mean, there's no way of knowing for sure, but what is the information we have right now tell you?
I as far as I can tell, we're looking at months at least, and we may be looking at longer. The question is really more appropriate for an epidemiologist than an economist, but it really is a question of whether one round of suppressing the pandemic is enough, or whether we go into some longer-lasting regime of, you know, temporary shelter in place, release a bit, see that the pandemic starts emerging again and sheltering in place again.
Yeah.
If that's the case, we could be looking at a long period and just until there's a vaccine that can be delivered in mass.
John Kabatek, there was a debate. It seems to have been settled now, but whether, you know, we need to make sure we get rid of the virus before we reopen businesses versus people, including the president, who were saying that some of the damage from the economic downturn itself could be harmful to people's health, mental health, physical health. Do you agree with the current course, which is to basically keep this shelter in place until we're really confident that we're past this crisis?
I do, and it's a struggle, and it's tough because we do hear from so many small businesses who, you know, many who believe they are essential when they are deemed non-essential, and many who are just being asked to be at home. But I think what we're finding is many people are just, the best thing people can do is listen to our leaders, listen to the public health officials who have the best, are getting the best information. But I think the positive side of this, again, and it may not apply to all small businesses, my heart goes out to those who do have difficulty comporting, but we are hearing so many who are able to try and do some things to keep the place safe, distance themselves, vacate the business if they are able to, if they need to and are asked to. But I think also we're seeing so much creativity and courage from people who are doing, you know, we learned about a video, a yoga instructor and also somebody who has a karate school who is doing video classes from home. And we've heard from some other people who are doing takeouts and deliveries. One guy actually did tell us that he has seen his business sales grow a bit because so many people don't want to cook. They want to spend time with family at home, so they are accessing the Thai restaurant in Sacramento to basically a whole market of people who never really knew about him very much.
Yeah.
So he said there is a silver lining, but stay home if you need to. It's a challenge, but I think we're seeing the resilience and people being very creative as much as they can, as small businesses can.
Absolutely. Although we are pretty much still, I would say, in the beginning stages in some way of how this is going to affect the economy, but we shall see. Let's go to Berkeley now, and Terry, you're next. Welcome.
Hi, this is Terry from Berkeley's Northside Travel. We were closed 2 weeks ago, and that's the first time we've been closed in 40 years. And all my employees are working from home. I don't have many employees. Most of my employees have been with me 20 or 30 years. And I think with the government being, the options, we have to make some decisions about what we're going to do with the options, if we're going to take a small business loan or if we're going to be telling our employees that it's better that they go on unemployment. This started in the travel business in January. I had people canceling trips to Japan to see the cherry blossoms. So we have been seeing the hemorrhage much more in the travel business than anything else. All we were doing is canceling and rescheduling and before we were closed. Now, if you call my agency, you will get the email addresses of all of us, and we will respond to you. That's the way we're doing it. My concern is, what about the independent people, like the woman who cleans my office? She is, I think she's illegal, but her daughter is a DACA. And I'm basically concerned about her because those people, what's going to happen with those people?
Yeah, well, there's so many downstream issues. I was thinking, as the realtor was talking earlier, that everybody who paints houses or does home staging, I mean, there's all kinds of businesses have other ancillary businesses they rely on. Julie Klaus from the Small Business Administration, what advice can you give our caller?
Right, I think for everyone, they need to look at their form of business and see what kind of assistance might match with their form of business. So I know, a couple weeks ago, we had a lot of confusion with sole proprietors. They were like, do I qualify for these loan programs or don't I? And if you are a sole proprietor and you file, your tax returns and you have a Schedule C and whatnot, you will qualify for these loans. So I want to tell people it goes to an individual situation, and it's, so there are some issues with 1099 folks that may or may not qualify, but a lot of sole proprietors will be able to qualify. So we're happy to have those conversations one-on-one with people so we can talk about their unique situation and see what buckets of assistance they might be eligible for, or then try to turn them over to other assistance that's maybe available from a city or a county that might be a better match for them.
Is there an 800 number, or should they access that through the web?
If they want to reach out to us directly in the district office here in San Francisco, they can email us is the best way right now at sfomail@sba.gov.
Mm-hmm.
SFO, like San Francisco office. But if they're elsewhere in the state of California, they can find our other offices by going to sba.gov, and there's a location search. They can put in their zip code, and their closest office will pop up.
All right. Well, Terry, thanks for the call, and I'm sure your employees appreciate your caring for them and thinking about them in this very difficult time. So good luck to you and to them as well.
All right. Thank you. What about the DACA people?
Oh, the DACA folks. Yeah, I don't know if any of our guests have any suggestions. I mean, would it be possible? I don't know if it's possible to. Or do you have a concern about anybody coming into the space? Is that part of the concern?
No, because the space, I understand you can go in individually and clean the space. But I'm just a small. She has many of this woman who cleans. She has many places, apartments, and things like that she cleans, and I'm sure she's being told not to come because people are told they're not to social.
Yeah, to socially distancing.
Home.
Yeah, yeah. That is a tough one. I mean, I suppose you could pay her in advance and get the cleaning later just to get some cash to her.
I was thinking of that, but also I was wondering if the government is doing anything for these people.
I don't know quite who to give that to. Julie Klaus, does your immigration status matter if you're trying to get help from the Small Business Administration?
I think there's a lot of factors that go into play. So I think the best way is if someone isn't sure if they qualify to reach out to us or one of our resource partners so we can look at your specific situation and see what programs you may qualify for or help you find, other more local programs that you might qualify for.
Yeah. All right, Terry, thanks so much. Good luck to you. I realize that's not a complete answer to your question, but appreciate your putting it out there. All right, let's get some other listener comments. Tom tweets, I'm an architect, still busy as of today, but the irony is that 20 years ago, I started working as a consultant to tech companies like Cisco Systems about remote work and work from home programs. Those were controversial at the time. Now they're keeping a lot of companies alive. And I think, you could probably say, EC Romem, that if we weren't in this moment where people can order things and receive things, online and just to do so much without leaving the house, this would be a very different picture economically.
Absolutely. I mean, if I try and tick through the ways we are better off today in our ability to respond to this pandemic, there's the obvious ones, right? Being able to watch Netflix at home is nice. But being able to order things to the house and have this giant logistic network that Amazon and other delivery services provide us is a bigger deal. And perhaps the most important one really is being able to work at home. More than half our economy, give or take, is able to continue working and being productive and do what they do, despite having to perhaps watch kids at home or be in less than perfect working conditions. They can still do their work at home.
And that just wouldn't have been possible in the age of phones and faxes. And the result would have been that the economic hit would have been that much deeper due to this level of restriction. And probably that many people would have had to continue going into the office, and we wouldn't have been able to halt disease transmission the way we can now. In those times, we are much luckier and much better able to handle this than we would have been.
Absolutely. All right, let's go back to the phones now. And Sherry Lynn in Berkeley, you're next.
Yes, hi. So I'm the director of the Bay Area Book Festival, which is a very large annual literary event, hundreds of authors around the world, et cetera. We had to cancel. We were May 2nd and 3rd. And my question is about the loans available for small businesses that are forgivable. And the reason I ask about that, you know, people talk about individuals living paycheck to paycheck. Well, many nonprofit organizations live paycheck to paycheck. You know, we raise our money fresh every year. So it's especially in this difficult fundraising environment, it's scary to think about promising a payback. And so there's so many loan options right now, like floating out there, that it's really confusing. And one of your guests said, you know, well, there's another set of things coming out on Friday. It's like, okay, so should we wait?
Yeah.
I honestly don't know which direction to take first.
Yeah. Let me put that to Julie. Sure. Julie Klaus from the SBA.
Sure. No, that's a great question. And I think that that's a situation a lot of businesses, whether you're a nonprofit or a for-profit entity, are going to have to face right now. And my best advice is that there are several options, and they can work together or they can work independently. So it's going to be sitting down and kind of figuring out financially what is most advantageous to your business. And there's not going to be one answer for everybody. It'll be unique to each business. So it's looking at what kinds of working capital do you need? What do you need it to support? Is it payroll, or is it maybe less payroll but more on, you know, rent or mortgage payments, utilities, accounts payable, and kind of parsing out what your financial needs are today and, you know, for the next 6 months or so, and then figuring out which of these programs is going to be more advantageous to you. And you don't have to do all that calculation by yourself. You know, leveraging our resource partners is a great way to go. It's free. Business advisors can sit down with the businesses and kind of go through this with them. And then myself and my team can also try to help, you know, more specific individual business questions. But I get it. There's a lot of information. Some of this is still evolving because the legislation, the CARES Act, was just signed Friday afternoon. So we're working very seriously to put out the new information, prop up some new programs. And I'm hoping by Friday I should be able to have a better, you know, even some better marketing materials to help everybody make these important decisions.
All right. Sherry Lynn, hope that is helpful to you. Good luck to you, and hope things work out well for the book festival. Here's some other comments from listeners. Leslie writes, as a small business person, I don't always agree politically with the NFIB, but I salute your spokesperson's expression of can-do attitude. We are necessarily hearing so much bad news in the world as we've known it is changing as we speak, but it's important to remember that adaptation will happen, and we can't collapse in the face of the crisis. John Kabat-Zinn, a little shout-out for your group there, and you in particular. It is true that, you know, necessity, as they say, is the father and mother of invention.
Well, I very much appreciate that and your listeners' comment. And again, we strive to be the organization that is the leading small business group. And we have great resources that really help. And one of the things we've been very grateful and we really applaud is for such a bipartisan stepping up. You know, NFIB has worked really well with Governor Newsom's office almost daily and weekly. They have been in communication with us. And then in turn, we've been getting phone calls with their labor secretary, their small business advocate, getting information out to members. And similarly, at the national level, we've had a call last week with, you know, President and his economic advisors and others talking about what the national folks are doing. So we're grateful for that. And most importantly, the most important thing is getting information out. Our webpage is nfib.com. And then you go to the California page, we actually have a coronavirus page right there with a lot of information. Julie's and EC have given some great information, and I encourage turning to them. But We have a centralized location on our nfib.com page just to make sure people have what they need. And just a reminder that, as you might have mentioned, in just a couple of days, we're going to be seeing the sick and family leave emergency sick and family leave act going into effect. So a lot of your folks will want to know about that and take advantage of it. Hopefully not too many sick people out there as a result of this, but to know that that is in place, that Republicans and Democrats came together to pass that, as well as the CARES Act, I think is going to give a lot of people like your listener a lot of hope and relief. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And here's another comment. Bob writes, does a small business have options for employees furlough but continue to pay employees or allow them to file for unemployment? People might get more financial relief from unemployment than their regular paycheck. Not sure which of you could take that one on. I don't know, EC maybe, or Julie?
I realize that. I can say,
yeah, go ahead.
A few things in this context. One is that reducing salaries is another option. Paying people 50% of what they would make normally can help them get by and can help the business survive and might be a better option than letting people go and not having them back. So just bear that in mind as well.
Yeah. And here's a quick tweet from Colin, SF-based stage and screen actor here. He writes, my partly rehearsed show is hopefully just delayed until fall, but if it's not safe to rehearse, shoot, gather an audience, it'll all stay dark. And that is just a reminder of how many people are kind of working on their own. They're not part of a company necessarily. They may be an independent contractor, actors, musicians, artists. We're all in this together, but clearly not all of us have the same means to get through it. So it's great to have all these suggestions from all of our guests this hour. I want to thank EC Romem from MetroSite, Julie Klaus, the San Francisco District Director for the Small Business Administration. Also, John Kabatak, California State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you. Appreciate
and
it.
You bet. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who's called in and checked in with us. And also Chuck Van Fleet, the restaurant owner in Fresno. We appreciate that as well. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Tina Lauerberg, Ariana Prale, Blanca Torres, and Susan Britton. I'm Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny. Thanks so much for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.